You're Ed, come on. You're not doing the intro? You asked last episode to do the intro.
Hey, yeah, this is awkward. This is Ed Stetzer. This is the podcast we do. Daniel
the,
and
the podcast.
The newchurches.com podcast that we do here.
Because and you and I both have other podcasts as well.
We do as well. That's right. So this is the newchurches.com podcast. I'm Ed Stetzer, your co-host. Welcome to Fantasy Island. Are we also, I think there's another guy named Todd who does some stuff with us as well.
Yeah.
And this is your online hub for church multiplication where experts help you thrive. Don't use the word thrive. I think you do. Experts help you thrive.
Okay. This is why you don't do the intro.
Well, this takes preparation. You know, you have probably a script right in front of you that you read. Do you have a script right in front of you?
Yes, I do have a script
in
front of me.
If you texted it to me right now, matter of fact, text it to me right now, quickly, get it, go text. And then what I'll do is I'll do this, and this will be like, this is like behind the scenes, right? People are getting the behind the scenes of the podcast. And so if you're texting it to me, it's not here yet. I'm hoping it's coming. There it is. You're listening to newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Knew that was in there.
Yeah.
Check out our 1,000 churches. And then it's sort of, you only send one text. So
yeah, because you're supposed to keep on going. You know what 1,000 churches are.
Check out our 1,000 churches ebook at newchurches.com.
All right. So let me take over. Yeah. So the last 2 days I was in the studio recording the audiobook for my new book, No Silver Bullets, 5 Small Shifts That'll Transform Your Ministry. And
that's what I'm saying. Every time you drop a product, I'm going to say ding.
Yes. And I remember tweeting out and asking people, hey, how should I, any tips that I should have when I'm recording this audiobook? And multiple people, they were actually like, hey, you should get Ed Stetzer to record your audiobook.
Because
Ed has a face for radio, right?
Oh, wow. Wow. You know, have you looked in the mirror? You're not exactly Brad Pitt there, bro.
Hey, it's all for the glory of God, man.
There you go.
But no, I say that because
my anniversary was yesterday and I got my wife flowers and I thank the Lord for her and for her bad eyesight. So that has lasted well in our marriage.
No, I say that because when you were doing the intro, like the actual, the real intro, the one with a script, you just, something switched in your voice. And you just went to radio voice.
Yes, I did. I did. Yes,
you did.
I'd like to welcome you. So,
but you have not narrated any of your books. So the next book you do, I think people would enjoy it if you narrated your next audiobook.
One of the funniest things I've actually thought about, because I had one book audio. Yeah, I think several of my books are audiobooks. But if you look at some of the reviews, I get a bunch of bad reviews on one of my books. I'm like, what the heck is going on? And what happened was the reason it was bad was, they were rating the guy who read my book.
Oh,
and I'm like, hey. And so I actually complained to the people. I think they redid it. And I won't mention which book
because
I didn't find it. But they was like, I guess he read the book like this. It was bad.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard some people read every sentence they end, they always go up.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I'm like, that's not how you read. Like,
that's awesome. That's so awesome.
Yeah. Anyways, enough banter. Let's get into our question.
We got questions to discuss
from Byron.
Hey, guys. Byron here, church planner down in Texas. Want to say thank you for New Churches. Our team is really loving it. We're listening to all the podcasts and applying it in our leadership meetings. My question today is over burnout. We hear a lot in the church world talking about preventing burnout for pastors and leaders. But what about for our volunteers? What about for our volunteer deacons and leaders? Our church is over a year old. Our team has been working very hard. We're a team of young men, women, and young professionals. And they're expressing to me that they are tired. Tired from work and college or family, and it's affecting how they view the church. So my question is, what can we do to honor them? There's two thoughts in the church world. One is, you give them less responsibility to free them up, or give them more responsibility to make them strong. So what do you guys think? Do we give less or do we give more? How do we keep moving forward and doing everything that we are supposed to be called to be doing? Thanks, and look forward to listening with the team.
So this question reminds me of that story in 1 Kings 12 when Rehoboam takes over and he talks about the king. He consults with the elders who had served his father Solomon, and they're like, hey, how should I respond to the people? And the elders say, hey, you need to serve them. You need to be kind to them. And then if you do this, they're going to be your servants forever. But instead, he rejects their advice and consults the young men who had grown up with him. And the guys basically said, hey, you should say this to the people. Your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. And then, you know, that's what they said. And then you should say, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. Although my father burdened you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with barbed whips. And then the story ends by Rehoboam getting stoned. So there you go, Byron.
The lesson of the story is option two may not be the best option. Yeah.
Especially when you're not paying them. That's the one thing about church volunteers. You know, they don't have a paycheck and they can walk anytime. So I would encourage you. Okay, but seriously, I would encourage you. Yes, I understand. How do you prevent burnout for volunteers? And it's very proactive, Byron, that you're thinking about this. I'm glad that you notice that your team is tired, but it is important on the one hand to really lead with vision, right? Lead with vision, show them, hey, we're not doing this just to put on a service. This is not just something that's rote. It used to be exciting when you planted, but a couple years in, it's not exciting anymore. So just do it because we need to do it to go into the rhythm of things. But how can you cast a fresh vision to help all of your volunteers understand the kingdom purpose for why you're doing what you're doing?
Yeah. So here's what I would say. People need to suck it up. Is that what you did? That's the phrase. I want to go back to that Old Testament and break open a can of stomp. I think we shouldn't casually push aside his second option. I think the second option is helping people to deal with the ongoing stress that's there. Because I've been a pastor a long time. Everybody thinks they're burned out regularly. Everybody thinks that they're working harder than everybody else. And so I do think creating a natural space and rhythm where people are actually serving but not serving at 10 places, but serving, you know, primarily one ministry, maybe volunteering a couple other places if they'd like to. So what I think is key is you have to help people get to sustainability. Mm-hmm. And so you want to get them volunteering at a sustainable level. And so if they're under the impression they're burning out, I think you have to do twofold things. You have to help them to understand what burnout looks like, not, you know, I got to prepare my Bible study lesson this week. I'm so burned out. Well, you'll actually literally have people that sort of are that way. So so you can't, like, every time you hear burnout, you can't freak out. That's a key thing. Every time you hear burnout, you can't freak out. You got to help people to say, well, here's the deal. I mean, I think everyone has time and can set aside time for taking a few hours a week. And if you don't have a few hours a week, now I know there's exceptions to this, but if people don't have a few hours a week to put aside for serving the Lord, maybe they need to retool some other things in their life. So that kind of gets to a second thing, right?
Yeah.
Is to say, you know what? No, this is good. You can do this. There might be some things you have to change in around your life. So you can take 2 or 3 hours a week to serve each week in some ministry in and around, in and through or beyond the church. So I think that's key. And I think vision's key. I want to just agree with you wholeheartedly that vision's key. They're doing something that's not a drudgery. I think getting people are much less likely to burn out when they're kind of working in their area of giftedness. I think that matters too. So there's a lot of things that can really help and are really helpful. But I think ultimately, the burnout question being so frequent, get a sustainable pace, communicate that. Listen, say people, listen, we don't want to burn people out. I wouldn't say this just to one person. I said, we don't want to burn people out. We think all of us can take a few hours each week to serve the Lord in some way. And to do that so that these people over here, so that Jose and Anita over here don't get burned out. We need some of you to take up 2 to 3 hours a week, so they're not doing 10 hours a week. Because 10 hours a week, you know, if someone's working a full time job, that can lead to some burnout.
Yeah, one of the things, Byron, is that this is not a issue that's just for church planters. I mean, this is a cultural issue that a lot of us just have so many things on our plate. And not only do we have so many things on our plate, but we're not taking advantage of downtimes, right? So often if you're going from here to there and you're walking or you have a little bit of downtime, we take our phone out, right? We're always being stimulated by media, by screen time, by this going here to going there. And that really does get in and piles up on top of each other. So I would encourage you, Byron, to not just address this with your volunteers, but actually do a sermon series on the whole idea of margins. This is actually one thing that my church, I'm a teaching pastor at my church, and we did this a few months ago where we took a few weeks. We talked about scheduling and time. We talked about rest. We talked about the idea of integrity and relationships and then finance and also play. But the idea of, hey, how can you actually create margins in your life? And after we worked through that sermon series and preached through that, it was really neat to see the feedback from our congregation saying, man, all of these messages are so timely. Right. And when I talked about rest, and when I preached about that, yes, I talked about the Sabbath, right? And I talked about what that looks like as well. But once again, it was this whole idea of, hey, how do you just create more margins in your life? Because it is really an issue of prioritization. Right. Every one of us, we always make time for what we really want.
That's right? The good way to compare it is finances. So,
yeah,
you know, if we're going to tithe and we're going to do so, you know, you're going to have to create margin. You're going to have to create margin as well with the finances. So you can't, you know, you can't be, you know, a lot of people are living at 110, 120% of their income, and they're in doing so, they, you know, they become Christians, say, well, I want to be in a tithe. And now they're up to 130%. Well, no, you got to get, if you're going to tithe, you got to live on 90% or you're going to save, and all that stuff goes in there. Well, the same is true with volunteering of your time. And so to volunteer of your time takes the percentage of that time, and you have to prioritize that as well. So again, I think you're right on the margin thing. The margin thing is so key.
Yeah, good deal. So thanks again for listening in. Be sure to tune in next time as we continue our trek now to episode 300.